Hi, I'm Kevin Devine, and this is the ProSource Podcast. In each episode, we'll be talking to industry experts, including trade professionals, suppliers, and our showroom staff, about a variety of topics within home and commercial projects. Enjoy! Well, welcome again to the ProSource Podcast. In this edition, we're joined by Kevin Jones of Premier Homes. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
This is everyone's dream come true. Two Kevins on one podcast.
I'm not sure that's the case, but we'll give them a best shot.
Dream, nightmare, it's all exactly. Terminology.
Exactly.
So let's start with this. Let's talk a little bit about, tell us about yourself and about Premier Homes.
Premier Homes, we're a small custom home builder in the Metro East. We don't build in volume particularly, but more of the higher end custom homes. So we take an individual from with no plan and lead them through the entire design process, or sometimes someone may approach us with their own plans and then we'll execute that for them.
Okay. And by Metro East, we should probably qualify. We're talking St. Louis, Missouri.
Because correct.
For all I know, we have a global audience.
Maybe.
We want to make sure that everyone on all hemispheres understand.
For us, the Metro East is just the Illinois side across the river from St. Louis. Yeah. So, and okay. I'm primarily in Edwardsville, a community on the east side.
Okay. So today's topic is all about cabinets across the home. And so we're talking about, how that's not just for the kitchen, and we're talking about some of the different storage and organization features of it. What are some of the most common reasons why homeowners are replacing cabinets in their home? And when that happens, what advice do you tend to offer them?
Well, I think it's really mainly two reasons. It's either upgrade what they have currently or update what they have. So I do some remodeling. I do more new construction, but the remodeling I tend to do is more of the larger scale. So complete kitchen, sometimes an entire gut of a house, that type of thing. So I would say we're seeing some of the people that, particularly in the environment we're in now, where interest rates have kind of jumped up on us pretty quickly. You've got people that may have been interested in purchasing a new home or moving to another home of some type. Interest rates have kind of trapped some of those people because of the low mortgage rates that they have in hand, as opposed to going out and assuming that higher interest rate. So they are more likely to try to take the existing home and update or upgrade that. People that would have normally upgraded, they've been in the home for a few years, a starter home possibly, and now they're able to maybe take those builder grade cabinets and that type of thing and upgrade to something a little nicer countertops, and kind of just update and upgrade the entire home that way.
So this may actually be a question on my list, but I'm going to go ahead and address it now. Because being fair to you, you are a builder, a custom home builder. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There's not a whole lot of remodeling. There is some, but not a lot in your world. We use that term, builder grade cabinets. But really what we're talking there is sort of maybe the entry level. But correct. I would assume that within the selection that you offer, you're already offering some upgrades within that. You're looking at that whole scope for the multiple design concepts that people may have.
The homes we build and the remodeling we do is still typically an upper end type of cabinet that we're putting in those homes. So I might have used the wrong terminology in terms of builder grade. It's used in our industry.
It's a term people are used to.
Use it in our industry, quite a bit and probably too often. But again, it's like you said, an entry-level home where it's more affordable. It fits their budget at the time, but now they've been in the home 10, 15, 20 years. They're obviously in a better financial position, hopefully, and they're able to take some of that money and reinvest in their home.
I do think sometimes it gets sort of a negative connotation when people say builder grade, but that's covering a big spectrum because there's a lot of different builders that are out there when
absolutely.
We say that.
Yeah, well, we hear it all the time and talking to customers, and obviously we compete with other builders, and there's just so much difference in how each of us approach it and the type mm-hmm. of materials and workmanship and quality that goes into a home. So it can vary across a pretty wide spectrum, of course.
Right. When we're looking at the choices of cabinets that people make, do trends impact those cabinet choices, either in both what you offer and what people select? So we're talking style, color, wood type. Are people being driven more toward trends when they pick the cabinets you offer, or is it just simply personal choice?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Because trends are going to generate activity or interest, and I think that may draw people into the thought process of whether they want to do a remodel or change their cabinets or update their kitchen. But still, I think there's an override factor for the personal choice and personal likes and dislikes, yeah. whether that's you know, just colors or style or whatever it may be. But I certainly encourage people not to get caught up in just the trends. But it's kind of like looking at a new car. You know, you're driving a car for 4 or 5 years and you see the new ones with all the nice bells and whistles, you know, it gets the juices flowing. You start thinking about, you know, you can upgrade yours as well. So it's kind of the same thing, I think.
Take it outside of the kitchen. Everyone always thinks when we think cabinets, we think kitchen cabinets. But cabinets are significantly more versatile than that. There probably isn't a room in the house that they can't go into. So when you're building the homes, you're designing the homes, how often are homeowners looking to add cabinets in rooms outside of the kitchen? And if so, what rooms tend to be next on the list when they're looking outside the kitchen?
I think it comes down to budget, first of all. Okay. So what can they afford to do? What needs to be done the most? So kitchens are pretty typical. Right. Next in line is probably the bathrooms, you know, so, and that's not a huge undertaking in terms of just the cabinet side of things, as long as they're not changing, you know, the layout and so forth. But that's probably next on the list. I would say, you know, laundries are an easy one, obviously. Mudrooms, that's, people like the locker concept. That still hasn't gone away. That's still pretty attractive to most people. So we're finding places or niches where we can build in some additional storage for things like that. And then there's always built-ins. And most of that we see in the great room or living room concept, where they're trying to create some additional storage of some type in the great room. So those are usually the areas we see it most.
Let's take it a little bit further. Are there other creative places that you find sometimes homeowners begin to look? So I'll give a couple of examples. Kids' rooms would obviously come to mind, but maybe also a little bit just outside the walls in the garages. Are you starting to see cabinets? Does that come up into the discussion?
Not as much, but yes, occasionally. Okay. Again, it probably comes down to budget, but particularly on a remodel anyway. But we don't see it as much in garages, although, you know, most people will go to the shelving route or something like that in the garages. But kids' rooms, possibly, you know, a little study area, desk area, storage area for books and that type of thing. That's, we've done some of that. Probably one of the more things that we haven't done a lot in the past, but it's come up more recently, butler's pantry, which is kind of a nice idea, and it makes a lot of sense if you've got the room for it.
And if you have a butler.
Well, most of them don't, but I guess that's the terminology that's kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, it's stuck around for a while now.
Yeah, and that's probably more in new construction again, but still, it's a concept that people like, and I think it's driven a lot by the open concept, which hasn't gone away, and I don't really see that changing. Maybe a little bit, but it's still a pretty popular floor plan. So in the open concept, you just usually don't have as much wall space for cabinet storage alone, so we usually go with a big pantry to kind of compensate for that. Butler's pantry is a nice area where they can display, maybe hide some of their larger appliance type things, countertop appliance type things that they can get out of the way and create more room in the kitchen itself.
Are there specific storage features when it comes to cabinets that homeowners are wanting more outside of just open the door? There's some shelves. You know, we're talking pull-out drawers or even maybe more fancy options. And we did talk about the butler's pantry, but are there other storage features that you're finding homeowners are starting to look towards, especially setting aside the budget, but just from a creative standpoint that they're saying, hey, I'd like this?
There seems to be a greater use of things that we didn't have before, possibly, at least in my time frame. I go back a little farther, but air fryers.
I'm not that far behind you on that. So,
well, you've got the air fryers, and those can be large. And people are using toaster ovens. I mean, there's a lot of convenience type things that are utilized now in the kitchen that maybe weren't used as much in the past, which creates a need for larger storage. Right. So, which again is where the butler pantry really comes in nice, but not everybody can do that or have the space for it. I think it's just organizational features as much as anything. So pots and pans, you know, they're bigger, they're heavier. So it takes a little more storage thought in terms of how you're going to accommodate that. So utensils, the spice racks and things like that.
There's just a lot of maybe K-cup drawers with all the single serve Keurig
absolutely. Type contraptions. And again, that's another item that people are trying to hide, but a good mention that I didn't bring up earlier is, you know, we do some coffee centers, you know, where they have those
an entire coffee center.
Oh yeah, with a regular barista station. So
okay, yeah. Starbucks in the home.
They,
there you go.
They definitely, it's a popular item. So if you again make room for it, then it's something that that's out there.
If you looked outside of the kitchen, are there any type of those storage or organization features that start to pop out in other rooms?
I would say probably, again, the built-ins in a great room. And that's That's really kind of depending on the individual, what their needs are. Some people want the cabinets with the door so they can hide their electronic components or that type of thing. Other people may need space for display. So whether it's bookshelves or floating shelves to display pictures or artwork or that type of thing. So that's probably what we see outside of the kitchen or bathrooms anyway, where we're seeing a little more unique. Closets, it's been done somewhat in the closet, which I think is a good idea because we can take some of the cabinet storage and create the drawer space that can be utilized in the closets as well and look a little nicer than some of the other options.
So this may just fit in with everything you've just said, but are there creative ways that cabinets are being incorporated into just the general design, not just of that room, but maybe the house as a whole?
I think cabinets always influence the design of the house to some extent because it's a very prevalent feature of the home. And again, in that open concept, it's visible from all the living areas of the home where your guests will be. So we see oftentimes trying to carry at least the style of somewhat. If we're doing a more simpler home, we call it transitional, you know, a little bit more of a modern look, I guess, to it, cleaner lines and so forth. That kind of influences, or maybe it's in reverse, but that style carries throughout the house. Colors as well. So if you've got stained cabinets in the kitchen, oftentimes, obviously, they have to complement the floors, but we may carry that stain over to the staircase or over to the mantle on the fireplace. So yeah, I think it all has to tie together. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the chicken or the egg thing, which influences which, but it obviously plays a part.
We talked a little bit about cabinets in the bathroom. So let's move there for a second. How are we seeing cabinets being implemented in bathrooms? And I'd also like to look at what are considerations as far as cabinetry when it comes to the vanity, as opposed to just taking an out-of-the-box from the big box stores vanity versus something a little more furniture-esque, a little more custom even, with cabinets being used there.
You're a little more limited, obviously, in a bathroom. You don't have a lot of space, typically. People will get a little more creative, I would say, in like the powder room. Again, because that's a guest area that the guest is going to see. So a little nicer space there, probably. But we'll see furniture bases, not directly related to cabinets, but we, you know, a lot of accent lighting or toe kick lighting that may be generated by motion. So when you're up in the middle of the night and you walk in the bathroom, the motion sensor will kick on and it'll light so you can see your way around the bathroom.
See, now you're just showing off because you know I don't have that in my home.
Well, you should add it.
I'm thinking so, yes.
We can do that for you for a
phenomenal
fee.
You had me going until that part.
But things like that. But I think it's making some of the cabinets, as opposed to out of the box and in the vanities and so forth, maybe a little more style created if you can. But again, you're somewhat limited to what you can do. But, and I'm probably the wrong person to ask. You've got people out there and some ladies that we've worked with that are pretty creative and have some great ideas too. So they're awfully helpful, you know, when it comes to that.
At the ProStore showroom?
Absolutely.
There you go. Plug that showroom. Plug it. Built-ins. We had mentioned the term earlier, so let's just go ahead and start talking about those. They have a little bit of an evergreen appeal for both storage and display purposes. How do you approach creating that aesthetic from when you're doing built-ins versus something else?
Again, I think it kind of comes down to what's their objective with the built-ins and what they're wanting to do with it. Oftentimes, we'll work with the architect as well to try to create that look. Probably the most helpful thing for me as a builder is when I meet with people and they say they have an idea what they want, but they can't really explain it very well, is Pinterest and Houzz and all of the things that are available out there for people today. Just show me pictures. Give me an idea of what you like or don't like about this so that we can try to incorporate, you know, your vision or your wish list for that item and try to build that into the process itself. So that's probably the most helpful thing we can do with the people, is they can show us what they really like.
So let's just touch on that, because I was thinking this also in my head. Cabinets have advanced so much. We talked about a little bit of the automation aspect of things and some of the unique storage features that they have. Sometimes people, they don't know what they don't know. They may not realize all the options that are available to them, and they haven't thought, wow, think of what I could have now in my kitchen or in my living room or in my kids' room because of these features that are available. How do you go through just setting that up for them of what all the different options are and things that they should consider? Is there like a questionnaire process you go through, or is it?
I'm not that sophisticated, unfortunately, but I think it just comes out through the conversation. You know, some people are cooks, chefs. They're, you know, the kitchen means something different to them than it might someone else. We have people that want a lovely kitchen, but they just want it to look good. because they don't really don't use it that much.
That's but cracking me up in and of itself, but okay. but I know that happens.
It definitely happens. So you kind of got to understand from them, you know, how are you going to use the kitchen? What do you really need from the space itself? And again, I'll defer to your experts here at ProSource, but they get to the bottom of that better than I can because they're true designers. But I think trying to get through some of the underbrush and so forth with your client before you send them down here, then you can kind of steer it a little bit, because it can be overwhelming when they come into a place like this that has a lot of bells and whistles and trinkets, things to look at. It's you want to have them a little bit more focused and get them on the right track so they don't get lost in the shuffle a little bit.
So when it comes to cabinets, what are some of the tips you offer for preserving and maintaining them so they last? The quality's there, but it does require a little bit of work sometimes too that people probably don't think about.
If you buy a good quality cabinet, it'll take good care of itself. And if you obviously install it correctly, right. It's a big part of it as well. But from there, it's just basically, to me, cleaning. Because you'll be surprised, and it'll happen in my house as well, but you'd be surprised how much dirt can accumulate in a kitchen and on a kitchen cabinet, which will, you know, have a pretty negative effect on the finish at some point. And you think that big fancy range hood is going to take care of all your grease, and it does not. It will get throughout the house. So I think a good basic cleaning is a big part of just maintaining the look of them anyway. The soft closed doors and drawers that are, you know, pretty prevalent now are, I think, eliminate some of that hinge stress and some of the damage created by doors slamming when they weren't supposed to or didn't mean to. That helps. And just the construction itself, you know, much better hinges are made today. They're a little heavier and they will last longer. The drawer glides and so forth are much better than what we used to have. So those types of things, it's taken out some of the risk we've had with those maintenance and care issues because they're just built better and better options than we used to have. Cleaning is probably the biggest aspect of just maintaining them that a customer can really do on their own.
I've tried to look for the grease colored cabinets so I don't have to, but yes,
they probably have.
Probably is that they do. Yeah. So that actually brought up another thought to me. With all these advancements that have happened with cabinets, how do you stay on top of it all so that you can better advise clients on considerations, whether it comes from the choices that they make all the way through to the cleaning and maintaining of them?
You know, there's always industry publications, and whether it's the builder show or something like that, we as builders, you know, have access to. That keeps you kind of aware of the trends and you know, improvements and the types of things like that are out there. But again, I mean, just as it is available to our customers, the things like a Pinterest or house and those types of things where you can see what other people are doing. I think the visuals are just as important to me as they are for our customers in terms of, you know, seeing things that work and what else is out there and that type of thing. And then, of course, your manufacturers are out keeping you abreast and aware of what's new and what's out there, as well as, you know, our consultants here at ProSource keep us pretty well clued in too. So a variety of ways I think we can stay in touch.
Probably the most popular choice of cabinets that people put in their homes are the white shaker cabinets. Mm-hmm. Traditional, clean, evergreen forever. Yeah. But maybe are you starting to see maybe people are sort of trending away from that because they do want a unique look to their kitchen? At least maybe not unique, but at least not that.
Everything changes over a period of time. You know, right now we're very clean lines. You know, that's a little more attractive to more people, I think, at this point than it used to be. Cabinets, you know, used to be the more crown molding and corbels and glazing and those types of things, that was in, and that's what everybody wanted. And that changes over a period of time. Now, like I said, it's more clean. The white has come back strong. It's been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Shaker is still popular, I think, and will be always be an option anyway. But I think you are starting to see some people come back into more of the woods and the stains and that type of thing and mixing it. You know, we'll have somebody that may do a stained island and then painted perimeter, and it could be white or another color even, or stained bases with painted uppers or that type of thing. So you can mix and match more of an accepted style, I think, an attractive style right now that is kind of moved in that direction a little bit, I think.
As a builder, let's look into your crystal ball. What's on the horizon with cabinets, especially in new homes? Whether it's this year or even maybe a few years down the line, do you see something that's trending for maybe the next year or so? But do you also see something on the horizon that could be coming down or at least being more popular?
You know, I'm an old builder, so I'm probably not the
mature
best guy.
We don't use old.
Well, I'm probably more old than I am mature. Okay. I don't know if I'm the right guy to answer that, but some of the things I just mentioned, I think, are what I see now that maybe fairly early in the trend. But colors, I see more colors, you know, coming in. Mm-hmm. So just add a little, you know, interest. Again, I will encourage or discourage people from just chasing a trend, but let the trend influence some of their personal choices a little bit. But I think color, the stain we talked about, is a big item. But in terms of, you know, cabinet structure and that type of thing, I don't think that changes a whole lot, you know, the basics anyway. But I think probably the mix, the stains, and some colors being used here and there are probably something we're going to see moved a little more to the forefront than what we've seen in the past.
Okay. Well, Kevin, we appreciate you joining us here today and giving us your thoughts.
Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So now we're going to switch gears a bit, and I'm joined by Stephanie Pierce from MasterBrand. Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with the simple ones. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, basic stuff, you know, bank account number, social security number, those sorts of things.
Sure. All details that I love to share regularly.
Exactly.
Thank you guys for asking me to sit in on this with you today. I'm really looking forward to being able to share insights around trends. That is one of my primary roles for MasterBrand Cabinets. I've been with the organization for 23 years. Primarily, as I mentioned, trend analysis is a huge part of what we do there that helps lead us for better solutions for our customers, but also, you know, from a product development perspective, and then just generally to be able to communicate and educate changes that are happening in our industry with our customers and consumers alike. So thrilled to be able to sit here today and talk with you about some of the exciting things that we think are happening in our industry.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I don't know. Talking to me, I don't know how much the thrilled level will stay high for you, but let's go with it for right now.
Sure.
But if you take this outside of the industry, not a lot of people know the name MasterBrand. So what are some of the brands that fall underneath your umbrella that may be a little more recognizable to people?
Yeah, of course. So MasterBrand is our umbrella company where we have multiple brands underneath that umbrella that offer solutions, anything from same day takeaway kind of cash and carry DIY solutions all the way to fully premium customized solutions. So some of the more probably the more likely known names would be in our mass market brands, which would be like a Schrock or a Diamond or a Kemper. Those cabinet brands offer solutions anywhere from value semi-custom, and semi-custom is just a way of saying that you can modify and make to order your kitchen solution, all the way up to some enhanced semi-custom solution. So being able to get additional features like size, height, width, depth, size modifications, and custom color. So those are names that are commonly known through the broader industry. But then we specialize on both ends of that spectrum, you know, going from the core out. So Omega is one of our premium brands that has a lot of recognition associated with it. And that's a fully customized solution. Essentially, if you can dream it and it's safe for us to build it, we will produce it. Additionally, on sort of the in-stock side of our business, Aristocraft is a really well-known name, provides stock solutions, meaning there isn't a lot of customization, but it's pretty standard and it's got enough breadth to fill the majority of what mass consumers are looking for. We also have another brand that we've just launched in the last couple of years, which would be Mantra, which offers a quick turn solution. Similarly, not a lot of customization, but you can get the cabinets really fast. So what's really unique about the MasterBrand portfolio is that we offer solutions depending on what the need is pretty much across the board.
So you work a lot with on the trade professional side of things. Do you take their input a lot into consideration when you're developing new cabinets, or do they even have an influence in what you say because they're out there in the field working with these all the time?
Absolutely. I mean, roughly 70% of our sales go through trade professionals. And so it's very important to understand what their needs are, both from a product perspective, but also a service perspective. We poll and talk to our customers on a regular basis. Our trends presentation that we put together is based off of a survey that is completely inputted by trade professionals. So there's a lot of different touch points that we'll reach out to them throughout the year to give us that insight and feedback, and it directly translates to the solutions that we bring to market.
There you go then. So let's take the kitchen out of the equation. We already know cabinets go in the kitchen. That's just a given. But what rooms are you finding on your side to be the most popular for cabinets? Subtracting that one from the equation.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting how the consumer preferences around design and aesthetic and how they get that inspiration has shifted over the last I mean, I'll call it the last decade, but it's really taken a different turn since the pandemic. And so there's a lot more education and online visibility that consumers have to be inspired by the products that they want to put into their homes. So going beyond the kitchen, rooms that have really become focal points for being able to drive creative aesthetic are things like craft rooms and or laundry. Oftentimes those two things get combined. So laundry is another big opportunity for us to integrate cabinetry solutions. And then naturally bath. So both master bath and half baths. And then home offices is another unique one. So there's a lot of variation in how solutions are built for people to be able to accommodate remote working or hybrid working. And so we're still seeing a lot of evolution in that trend. So a lot more to come in that space.
You know, so just because you mentioned the home office, did you see a significant spike in that room during the pandemic as everyone's forced to work from home, wanting to make it a nicer environment to work from home?
I think immediately in the pandemic, not as much, because I think there was a lot of uncertainty as to how long is this going to last and what kind of solutions. I know I had people in my organization who were working off of card tables for a really long time when the remote working first kicked off, because there was just a lot of uncertainty of how long it was going to last and what the evolution was going to be. But I think it's that environment is a lot more stable now. And so people have solutions around, you know, to what degree are they going to be remote or hybrid, or what their work environment needs to be to facilitate their long-term needs. So I think you're probably seeing more of that evolution happening in the last 2 years, maybe in the last year, and certainly continuing into the next couple of years.
It's funny how we talk about the pandemic as if it was just yesterday. It was actually started 4 years ago when it really occurred, but it's still so fresh in our minds because of the after effects. And may I state for the record, I did not work from the card table. I upgraded to the dining room table.
There you go.
I did my part before I finally upgraded my home office. So we touched on it here, but let's continue that conversation. How has cabinet placement throughout the home really evolved over the years, and has MasterBrand had to evolve your focus, sort of shift your focus to match that along the way?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of being a solution provider for the home. We have to stay really closely in tune and in touch with consumers and their needs. And so one of the biggest factors that drives innovation and product development, aside from being in touch with our trade professionals, is really understanding shifts for the consumer and where they're putting prioritization for solutions for their home. So lots of things continue to evolve. Some of the most recent shifts, I would say, revolve around the evolution of the kitchen island. Again, you can look at the last decade of data and really see how that has changed from, do you need an island? Do you not need an island? To how big of an island? To what are the different types of solutions that people are needing their island to provide for them. It's funny how you said you upgraded from your card table to your dining table, but a lot of people upgraded from, you know, a temporary solution to their kitchen islands. I am often on calls with people and they're like, I'm just working from my kitchen island. And that's just, you know, it's an adaptable space that has to provide multiple functions. And in our survey just this last year, 82% of designers were telling us that they agree or somewhat agree that the kitchen island has replaced the majority of dining solutions within the home, or at least formal dining solutions. So that's a huge functional evolution that you absolutely have to provide product solutions in order to overcome those challenges.
82%, that's a little high. So, wow.
You know, but it's not unexpected. I mean, one of the areas where we get a lot of insights into how our industry could potentially be evolving is furniture market. And it hasn't been that long ago. I won't say exactly how long, but hasn't been that long ago that I was walking furniture market and was introduced as a cabinet manufacturer, just chatting up some other design professionals. And they jokingly said, oh, I guess you guys are the reason that we're selling less dining solutions. So it's not unique to our industry to have this knowledge. I think even furniture manufacturers feel this shift and this change.
Okay, then. So our infamous, famous, going to be probably around forever, white shaker cabinets, they're still out there. But what has made them so popular? I mean, and even if it's the popularity per se is waning a little bit, but what just caused those to be the timeless look?
I mean, most designers you talk to are would hope that exactly what you said doesn't happen. Like, we do not want White Shaker to continue forever. Certainly, it came about after the Great Recession, when home values were top of mind for most homeowners, and the need for something that was neutral and resaleable to the mass market created a lot of appeal for those solutions. It also was an aesthetic choice or a design evolution that just naturally was going to occur in our industry, where people were looking for more of a blank canvas in order to build their design aesthetic on top of that canvas. And it certainly started out that way. It was very trendy early on to create sort of that neutral blank aesthetic and then build your design influence on top of that. So essentially that white canvas, so to speak. But what happens when you overplay a design trend, which naturally is what we've seen with White Shaker, because it's been over a decade that it has remained popular, is that not everybody was using it to its original intent, and it becomes oversaturated, and eventually it just looks sterile and bland. And so a lot of times when people look at it today, now don't get me wrong, White Shaker is classic. It's never going to go out of style. There's always going to be people who are using it to create beautiful design solutions. But there's also a lot of people who are just using it as essentially just creating a blank canvas with no personality and no real design influence. And that's what I think you're starting to see really wane in popularity. And that is also giving way to a lot of different solutions. So personality and personal influence in design solutions is really starting to shift. And minimalism and contemporary aesthetic, that real streamlined, clean, sterile look, is starting to become way less popular, which is great news. But I don't think we're going to be, at least not for a while, in a state where we say, oh, White Shaker is so out. I would love to be able to. I can't wait till the day we're like, the headlines all read that White Shaker is out. But it's become a tool in designers' toolbox that when it fits the right need, it is the right thing to do. But I think what's really nice is that we're starting to see that it isn't necessarily the only or the go-to solution. The palette has really broadened into off-whites or even taupes and beiges to help create that same example of a neutral aesthetic, but people are exploring alternatives to the shaker. There's the thin line shaker, the skinny rail shaker, the one with the really narrow exterior. There's also different door styles that have a really clean aesthetic, but offer you a little bit of beading or detailing on the inside of the rail. Those things go a really long way to creating additional personality within the space without being overly sterile or overly clean.
Now, all I get thinking of as you were talking about it with the, you hope that it happens someday, would all designers like gather in Times Square, just like New Year's Eve, and just offer one big celebration as the shaker door drops instead of the ball?
I can't even tell you how many times I've talked to designers and they've said, if I have to design one more White Shaker kitchen, and then I almost assure you the next customer in the door wanted a White Shaker kitchen. White Shaker,
they set that one up beautifully.
It's tough, but there is a horizon that has some hope on it.
Okay. Well, now I'm worried that we might be repeating ourselves, but I'll ask my question anyway because it was next on the list. But just because of what you said, when you get beyond white or even wood stain cabinets, are there any specific colors that are gaining momentum out there? And how bold are people maybe going with that?
Absolutely. So we definitely asked this question of our designers this past year. And what they came back and told us is that 31% of designers would agree that green is absolutely having a moment in 2024. 18% of designers still think it's blue. So those were the top two. It dramatically dropped off after that. And it really went into like beige and off-white, black, and even gray is still kind of at the bottom of that list. Again, gray is certainly not the predominant color anymore, but it's never going to truly go fully away, because when you need that color, you need that color. And it's a pretty well a staple in the toolbox now as well. But knowing that both designers and consumers are more open and welcoming to other colors, you know, blue really hit the scene hard in 2017. I know that seems like forever ago, but it has been around and popular for that long. But it's evolved over that time. And I would say there's at least six blues that are wildly popular at this point in time, or a range, right? Sometimes color can be very personal and people will choose nuances of those colors, but it's roughly evolved into, you know, there's a palette of six that you see continuously over and over again. Green is early days. Green is really two colors that you see over and over again, but every trend insight we have points to the fact that green has the potential to evolve very similarly to blue, and that we could end up with, you know, four to six greens really sitting solidly in that palette. I'm old enough that I can remember a day when everybody had a green, a blue, a red, a yellow. Like you needed something in every one of those ranges, but one was good enough. And consumers,
the lucky charms of cabinets,
you exactly
didn't want every color.
And it was pretty consistent in the industry as well. I mean, there was a little bit of nuance, but it was a mid-tone green. It was a dark blue. But what's interesting about today's consumer is that they're not satisfied with the limitation of those types of choices. And they really need a broader breadth of choice in order to get to those personalized solutions. So color is going to continue to evolve. And it's one of the most exciting areas of the kitchen and bath industry is really seeing that evolution take place and trying to create the right solutions for consumers.
So now I'm not going to let you off the hook, because so I'm going to ask two questions here. One,
okay,
don't leave me hanging here. You said there were two tones really of green that are kind of the popular ones, mm-hmm, right now. So what are those? And the second is, with whether it's green, whether it's blue, do you find those more confined to the kitchen or the bathroom? Or are you finding those throughout the home as well?
You're definitely finding them throughout the home. I'll answer your second question first.
Of course. You're going to keep me hanging just a little bit longer.
I mean, if I can create suspense for your podcast, I certainly will try.
Thank you.
So you definitely see color utilized in a lot of different areas of the home. It's definitely easier, I think, for most homeowners to make a color selection outside of the kitchen because it tends to be a smaller impact and therefore it feels like it's easier to change over time. Most people are not going to want to renovate their kitchen more than once in their lifetime unless they're moving to a different home. They tend to be more conservative when they choose color for the kitchen, but what we're seeing historically is that islands are one of the best and easiest ways to integrate color, again, because it's in a contained and smaller area. And so it feels like if you ever did get tired of your selection that it would be easy to update it. So certainly things like bathrooms and laundry rooms where you have fewer cabinets utilized, it feels, whether it is or isn't, it feels easier to personalize those spaces and then take on the challenge of updating later if you decide that you want something different. But I'll tell you what's interesting is that it's still, our data tells us that still people find it easiest to integrate color in the kitchen via the island. We're seeing quite a bit of momentum and growth of people integrating color in the perimeter of their kitchen now as well. Maybe not uppers and lowers, but potentially just the lowers to get more impactful color utilization. And I think a lot of the inspiration that consumers find these days is showing that as well. So it really is taking huge steps in building consumer confidence around color. When designers describe the greens to us, it is kind of it's generally described as a sage green. Now there's still interpretation as to what sage green is, but I would say it's a mid-tone. And I like to call these chameleon colors because ultimately it needs to have some brown or gray undertone so that they become very flexible and they sort of can work with a lot of different other colors, whether you're looking at other opaque neutrals like whites and off-whites and beiges, or whether you're integrating those tones with wood stains. So again, the neutrality of the opaque is important. And oftentimes you get there by kind of dirtying up the boldness of the color. So it becomes very flexible to work with a lot of different colors. So sage certainly does provide you with that sort of solution. Alternatively, we still see a lot of dark greens. So there's certainly a movement towards moody. There's a lot of different ways that people are describing this aesthetic. It's not new. It's been peeking its head out for a while, but there's a lot more influencers who are showing different ways to create a darker, moodier aesthetic in your home, and it still not feel sort of enclosed or removing that open airiness that people really appreciate from the lighter finishes. There is a way to achieve that, particularly if you have a lot of natural light in your space and still utilize a lot of dark tones. So those dark greens definitely provide really good solutions there. ultimately, I think we'll see light greens. We do hear some conversation and see some influence of a lighter, not quite a pastel, but a lighter green, maybe with a little more yellow or olive undertone. So I would say that's kind of on the horizon for where greens are going to evolve next.
So if we break out of the color aspect per se, but what has made wood cabinets so timeless in their approach? We talked a little bit about shaker. That's maybe timeless for now, but wood cabinets have just been timeless.
Yeah. And I think it's the nature of the kitchen and the relationship of a kitchen in a home. You tend to need neutrality in your kitchen cabinets to some degree because it's such a large grounding visual in your overall home aesthetic. So naturally, you know, whites and off-whites and beiges provide you with that solution, but wood tones do as well. And what's interesting about the evolution of wood tone, and as we're starting to see stains kind of come back and grow in popularity, the way I like to describe them is if you think about the forest floor, and you can think about the forest floor in any season, but if you're walking through nature and you look at the forest floor, you're going to get a little bit of gold influence, but you're going to get a lot of sort of those nuttier browns, those more neutral brown bases. You're going to see a lot of gray or gray influence. You're going to see some, like, think raw bark or those natural elements. I mean, it truly is. It sounds cliche to continuously talk about how nature influences our color choices, but those natural elements, there's a reason that we are all drawn to them and their aesthetic is so calming. Because those colors mix really well together. So if you think about this evolution of browns as they come back, they're on the mid to light range. We've certainly been through the phase of gray stains. Though even those gray stains have evolved into gray brown stains, which make them kind of khaki or more neutral. And so it just plays into that need for that kitchen palette to be something that is grounding that a lot of other colors can play off. Cabinets are one solution that homeowners have to think about when they're creating a new space or remodeling an existing space. There's other big contenders there, right? The flooring, the countertops, your wall color. So all of these things have to play well together. And so creating neutrality on cabinets and flooring is probably a higher priority than it is on things that can change out a lot faster, like wall color or countertop. So that, I think that's a big reason why we're starting to see some of this evolution and why people believe that wood stains are so classic, because they just complement other primary finishes within the home space.
Whether it's the kitchen or any other room for that matter, how might the door style impact the design?
There, you know, there's a lot of opinions there around how much impact the door style has. Certainly in the past, we've seen trends where we have a lot of differentiation in door styles, a lot of personal decision around how that aesthetic can influence your overall design impression of a space. A lot of that historical insight around how people utilize different door styles has been gone for so long that I don't even know that it's that relevant to talk about anymore, because as we're starting to see us, fingers crossed, move out of the era of just the shaker door, as I alluded
she
to.
She brings it up again.
I know. If you put it out in the universe enough, eventually it's going to latch on and you're going to see a shift. So I'm just doing my part. But the evolution of door style preference is still something clean, generally speaking. It's a clean aesthetic, but I think the key is that it doesn't drive a single style influence. It really has to be flexible that you could adopt multiple style influences. And what I mean by that is the thing about shaker is you could dress that traditionally, you could dress that rustic, you could dress that modern. It can create balance when you're trying to create or drive a specific style aesthetic. Most of the evolution of what we're seeing in other door profiles have similar appeal. They're neutral enough that they do create a little bit of enhanced detail or definition, but they're not so style specific or so style driven that you still don't have the ability to dress them up, dress them down, dress them sideways, depending on where you want to drive your overall design impression when the space is completed. So it's sort of the evolution of the shaker. And it's such a unique thing to watch, because now, because shaker has become so substantial, I often hear people describe just about any other door style that's gaining in popularity right now as a version of shaker, when really they're not. Shaker is a specific type of style and construction, and the evolution of that is really creating new styles of door profiles that we've never seen before, but they all have a similar feel. And I think that's why people easily classify them as versions of shaker, because they all have the same intent. They all have the intent of some small impression of design enhancement, but not an overall influence for the total package, meaning you've got that flexibility still.
Okay. Look into your crystal ball or just at the paperwork that you have in front of you, but what can we expect from MasterBrand in not just in 2024, but maybe even a little bit beyond that? Is there any sort of unveils that you can sort of tease for us here?
Sure, of course. I mean, that's what we're doing today, right? We're just teasing with different things.
I like the enticement here.
I think the first one is really about innovation around technology. You know, I've kind of mentioned it a little bit already, but products are just a part of the value proposition of what we bring to market for our customers and consumers alike. And continuously looking at how we can improve the service package with technology, about making it easy for both our customers and the end user to do business with us quite easily and efficiently. And a lot of this is driven by changing or evolving consumer expectations, right? Anybody who's done a remodel project or a new construction project knows that it's very labor intensive as far as project management side, you know, knowing when your product's going to arrive, planning the whole front end of the process before you even order your products. These are not challenges unique to kitchen and bath. These are challenges unique to any kind of home renovation project. So certainly continuing to innovate on solutions that enable us to be a stronger partner to both our customers and to the ultimate consumer of our goods. So more to come on where we evolve that. We certainly have a strategy where we'll have some close in unveiling of new technology, but it's an ongoing initiative for our organization. So many years to come, we will be unveiling and highlighting new ways to do business that make it easier and more efficient for everyone. So that's the first one. And the second one that I would say is really around color. And you heard me talk about this a little bit earlier because I'm very excited about this. I think it's been a long time coming for, you know, the creative component of our solutions to continue to offer something different than just the white shaker. And this doorway has now been opened to bring color back into our space. And that doesn't just mean paint colors or opaques. It's the whole evolution of where are stains going to go. And, you know, we've had to take a break from that for a couple of years, you know, coming out of the pandemic. But we're really full speed ahead, focusing on that again. And there are some very exciting things on the horizon. So I can't wait till we start bringing those things to the market.
Oh, and as I always say to MasterBrand, feel free to test those colors and new styles in my kitchen when you remodel it. You know, just spitballing ideas here, offering it up.
There's never any shortage of those kinds of volunteers. So,
yeah, darn it. Well, Stephanie, so much appreciate you taking the time to join us today and share your insights with us. It sounds great, and we look forward to seeing it, including perhaps the celebration of the demise of the shaker cabinets somewhere in the future.
Fingers crossed, right?
Stephanie, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you too.
Thank you for joining us on the ProSource podcast. Please like and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, follow us on social media, check out our website at prosourcewholesale.com, and visit your local ProSource Wholesale showroom for all of your home remodeling needs.